You stupid kid! That's why he is. We don't have a good marriage. We probably never will. That's why it ain't. We will never get out of this mess. That's why you won't. Do you understand the power of the words that God has given to you and me to create the very life in which we live? That's why he said to Abraham, your name is going to go from Abram to Abraham, and he didn't have any kids. So when people will say, hey, father of many nations, you have any kids yet? No, but I will, because God's promised it to me, and I'm going to be that person. And he speaks that. Then what happens? Here we are today. He was the father of our faith.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. We all know that from time to time, our computers ask us to change our username and password. But did you know that in the Bible, God often changed people's username? And when you become a Christian, he gives you a new identity as well. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Called by Name.
But we're going to be talking about how people will find new hope in Christ. But first, a funny story. As we talk about called by your name, it's a name that God's going to give to you, an identity, and we'll talk about that. But first, funny story, there's an Indian brave walking on the side of a river with his young son, about 9 years old, and his son goes to his dad and he says, Dad, how did we get our names? Your name? Yes, how do we get our names? He said, well, when your mother's giving birth to you and I'm inside the teepee, well, the first thing I do when I leave the teepee, the first thing I see is your name, like your sister, Falling Rain, your brother, Running Deer. Why do you ask, Pooping Dog? Well, the Old Testament had names almost the same. Man would name people according to what they thought. For example, did you know that the name Jacob meant sneaky thief? How would you like to be named that? Hey, sneaky thief, come over here. Another one, Jabez, meant pain because the mother gave birth in pain. So she named him Pain. Hey, painful one, come here, Pain, Pain. Sit down, Pain. And then we find another one who, when the Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines, the mother who gave birth at the same time named her son Ichabod, which means the glory of God has departed. Would that influence your future or what? But man will give you names. Haven't we heard them from grade school on up? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never harm me. Really? They harm people all the time. So you know what God does? God is in the habit of changing your name from bad to good. He took the one whose name was Sneaky Thief, Jacob, and changed his name to Israel. Jacob means sneaky thief. God said, no, your name shall be Prince of God. Oh, I'll take that name change, wouldn't you? Yep, and he took Simon Barjona, and he changed his name to Peter. Well, what does Simon mean? It means a rolling pebble. Peter is bedrock. So you look at yourself as a rolling pebble. I see you as bedrocks, and upon this, I'm going to build my church. Thought, wow, I'll take that change of name. Abram, the father of our faith, that word means father. God said, I'm going to change you to Abraham. We're going to change your name to Abraham, which means the father of many, many nations and many peoples. And did you know that God changed his name before he had any kids? He and Sarah were barren. And God says, I'm going to change your name, and I want you to start to see yourself and your family and your wife. You're going to be the father of many nations. Yeah, but we're barren. No. I'm going to change your name now because it influences who you'll become. God, when you come to Christ, God changes your identity and gives you a new name. In fact, you know, in the book of Revelation, it says that each one of us will receive a new name. God's going to give you a new name, but it won't be that which will be on your birth certificate. It won't be a new name on your driver's license. He'll give you a new name in your heart and in your mind, because that's where it begins. He's going to change who you are known by to fit his plans that he has created for you. And he's going to start changing that. Now, is that going to be on your driver's license? No. You're going to start to see things differently in your heart and in your mind because it will influence everything about you. Story is told of a man walking down the streets of Tokyo, Japan. Right on the side street, there was a tattoo parlor. And as he walked by, there was this big example of a tattoo, and it said, "Born to lose." Born to lose. And the guy thought, what a terrible thing to tattoo on your body. So he went into the shop and he asked the shop owner, it was a Japanese man, he said, "Do people really order that tattoo?" And the guy, you know, a Japanese, hi, they many do. And he said, "Well, why in the world would someone want to have that tattooed on their body, born to lose?" And the shopkeeper said, "Before tattoo on body, tattoo on mind." You see, what happens in your physical world is because it's how you see things. And for some of you, the reason you're listening to this message is because God's going to change your identity to start to fit into his plan. Not what the world calls you. And he's going to change that in your heart and in your mind. The year was 586 BC. A warring nation called the Babylonians swept down into Israel and laid siege to Jerusalem. And they were going to now remove the people of Israel because they were victorious. How did they do that? Here's how they would actually change their identity, because they're going to have the Israelites become Babylonians. Different gods, different ways of thinking. So this is what they would do. They would take the best of the best from Babylon and export them into Jerusalem and put them in leadership positions. Leave the poorest of the poor there because they're going to be influenced by this, these guys. And they took the best of the best of Israel and exported them up to Babylon and changed their names. One of the more famous ones was Daniel. That was his Hebrew name. Daniel, which means God is my judge. God is the one who oversees the outcome. That's the name Daniel. They wanted to change his name to Belteshazzar, which means servant of Baal, one of the foreign gods. So they started to call him Belteshazzar, but he would still be known as Daniel because he knew the power and the meaning of names. Now, you've heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These were the ones that went through the furnace of blazing fire. Those are Babylonian names. Their Hebrew names were Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah. But they would change their names to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hananiah actually meant God is gracious to me. Shadrach, that they changed their name to, meant that he was a servant of Aku, the moon god of the Babylonians. And then they took Mishael, which is God will deliver me, changed his name to Meshach, which means I belong to the moon god, Aku. And then they took Azariah, which actually means I belong to God. God owns me. They changed his name to Abednego, which means you belong to the god Nego, which is one of the major gods. Do you understand how they would change that to make them more Babylonian? Push came to shove one day when Nebuchadnezzar put up this huge statue, he said, of moi, of himself. And he says, when you hear the trumpets blare, everybody's going to fall down on their face and worship me. Got it? Da-da-da-da-da-da. They start blowing the trumpets, and everybody starts eating dirt. They just fall on their faces except three young men from New Hope Christian College. And they just stood there. And the king said, "That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." "No, it's Azariah, Mishael, Hananiah. God is our deliverer. God is our judge. He is a God of grace. God owns us." "Well, if you don't bow down, you're going to be thrown into the furnace of blazing fire." "We will still serve the Lord and he will deliver us. That's his name, right? God's my deliverer. But even if he does not, the other one says, God owns us. We will still serve him. Their identity influenced their behavior. God gave them those names. And sure enough, they blew the trumpet. They refused to bow down into the fire. In the middle of the furnace, the king looked in. You read it, and it says this. Wasn't it three boys that we threw into the fire? Mm-hmm. Why is there four, and the fourth looks like the Son of God? Yeah, you see, God said, I will be the judge. I will be your deliverer. You belong to me. I will take care of you. You know who you are. Just don't forget who you are. You represent me, and I've given you a new name. And you're going to decide whether you're going to go with the Babylonian names, the names that God has given to you. Because it's going to come to a point where push comes to shove. You're going to have Babylonians in society that's going to try and rename you. You're also going to have Babylonians of your own mind. Did you know for a lot of us, our biggest critic is us? Oh, I can't do that. Shoot, I'm so dumb. I'll never be able to match this. I'm so underqualified. You're going to have Babylonians in your mind. You're going to have Babylonians in the world trying to rename you. You're an idiot. You're no good. What are you doing there at church? Who do you think you are? What kind of girl do you think you are? Come on, get with it. Come to the party. Come on, be a Babylonian. And we have to make a decision. Are we going to be called by the names that God has given to us or the Babylonians? You see, it's so easy for the world to rename you. Not talented enough, not smart enough, too tall, too short, average, not too bright, you won't go anywhere. Some of you come in here and you feel like damaged goods, but if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. Now, I need you to hear this very carefully. You are not what people call you. You are what you answer to. Don't answer to those. Well, you're nobody. No, I'm not. Well, you messed up. I may have. But 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Yeah, but you're not, there's no way you can do what you think you can do. Oh, yes, I can. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. But you've already made some mistakes. But Romans 8:28 says he'll work all things together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Yeah, but you're not able. You don't have the courage to be a Christian. Oh, well, the Bible says 2 Timothy 1, it says that for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Yeah, but you're already condemned. No, I'm not. Romans 8:1 says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, wait a minute. You think you can do that with God? Mm-hmm. Yeah, my God is my riches. Yeah, but does he have any plans for you? Yes, yes, yes. My God said that I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have a future and a hope. But you're going through trials. Mm-hmm. But I consider it all joy, my brethren, when I encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of my faith reduces endurance. And I'm going to let endurance have its perfect result, that I might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Yeah, God hasn't chosen you. Yes, he has. John 15:16. You didn't choose me. I chose you and I appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. So you have to decide which identity you're going to go with, what the world is accusing you of or what God has already promised. That's why the Bible says, be careful of your words, because for every careless word you will be held accountable for. Is God into punishment? No, he's just saying you have great authority with your words. So just kind of make sure you're saying it correctly. You can use it for the negative. James says the tongue of man can be set on fire by hell itself and it'll become a forest fire. Even as God invited Adam to be a part of the creative process or the creation process, he invites you and me to do the same. You stupid kid. That's why he is. We don't have a good marriage. We probably never will. That's why it ain't. We will never get out of this mess. That's why you won't. Do you understand the power of the words that God has given to you and me to create the very life in which we live? That's why he said to Abraham, your name is going to go from Abram to Abraham, and he didn't have any kids. So when people will say, hey, father of many nations, you have any kids yet? No, but I will, because God's promised it to me, and I'm going to be that person. And he speaks that. Then what happens? Here we are today. He was the father of our faith. It's just amazing. And God has given that same authority that he gave to Adam to you. Can I say this to those of you that are husbands? One of the best prayers you can pray due to this authority that God has given to you from creation on, one of the best prayers you can pray in the morning when you get up is, Father, what are you saying to my wife today? Would you say that through me? Use my voice box to speak your word so that we can define the environment in which we will live. And I want your words to come through me, not my words mimicking yours. I want your words to flow through me. And you'll be surprised as days goes on, you will see things start to change. There's a man named Beethoven, the great composer. Did you know at 28 years old, he started losing his hearing? Great composer. By 35, he was deaf. He didn't die till he was about 46 or so. So the last 10 years, 11 years, he was absolutely deaf, yet he was still composing on his harpsichord. And because he was deaf, the story goes that his harpsichord was quite out of tune because he couldn't hear it. But yet he would be playing and he would be writing notes on his chart and tears would be flowing down his face because of the beauty of that music. And yet any bystander would go, man, that's so dissonant. That's just discordant. It's just bad because of the thing being so out of tune. But yet he would be weeping. Why? Why? Because Beethoven didn't hear the sounds that it made. He was hearing the sounds that it should make. When God looks at you, he doesn't see you. He looks at the man or the woman that he created you to be. And he says, you're perfect. I was working for a farmer in Central Point, and he grew apples, huge apple orchards. And I remember one August, this is when I was in junior high, I'd hire out to farms and I'd work. And this was before I went to Hawaii. We were here in Oregon living. And he looked at an apple around, I think it was July or August. And, you know, they're real small yet because you don't really harvest them till September, October. So it was just a teeny little thing. And he looked at it and said, hey, Wayne, come over here. He said, this is perfect. I said, no, it's not perfect. It's just a little teeny little thing like this. He said, no, it's perfect. I said, no, it's not perfect. You eat one of those things, it will stop you up for a long time. He said, no, it's perfect. Sure, it's still vulnerable to aphids and bugs, but look at these. We're going to have a huge harvest this year. It's perfect. You see, the same thing is that God says to you, you're perfect. You go, oh, no, I'm not. Oh, yeah. If God says it, you are, because in your walk with Christ, oh, you're not there. You haven't arrived yet. But in your walk with Christ, your heart is open. You're here. You're listening to the word of God. You're going, amen, amen, and amen. That's for me. I received that promise. God, I want that for me. Yes, God's saying, you're perfect. Sure, we're still vulnerable to bugs and aphids and temptations and the Babylonian renaming and the Babylonians in our mind trying to rename us so that we'll assimilate into the world. But we're not going that way, because when push comes to shove, you must decide what name you're going to go by. The name that the Babylonians of the world, your mind gave you, or the devil, or what God has given to you. And God says, good, you're going by the name I gave you. You're perfect. We've got a long way to go yet, but it'll be an adventure. You're perfect. So you must choose. And when the devil or the Babylonians of the world or of your mind start giving you a hard time, you say, no, 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 this is who I am. Let me tell you. And you begin, it is written. And you speak that. I always wondered why David was called a man after God's own heart. Then I would read his life, and I go, now I got it, because he started seeing things the way God saw them. Even if it didn't look like that in reality, he would call it as God saw it, spiritually. And there was one when the Philistines were coming against the Israelites, and the Philistines had a ton of population, and they were going to wipe out the Israelites. Israelites were so scared, they start bailing out. They start hiding in holes behind chicken coops, in outhouses. Everywhere they could find a dark spot, they would hide, because the Philistines were just going to wipe them out. And let me read to you, and it's in your notes, and it'll come up on the board, but let me read it. Listen to this. Now the Philistines assembled to fight with Israel. Here's their count. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horses and horsemen. And the people of the Philistines, they were like sand on the seashore, that many. Must be hundreds of thousands. Now, when the men of Israel saw that they were hard-pressed, they started bailing out in caves and thickets, cliffs and holes and in pits. I mean, they were just scampering. They saw this huge entourage coming, and it's like, yo, I'm out of here. And they just started bailing. Now, this big guy named Goliath comes out. And he says, I tell you what, instead of us having a big old army war, I'll just fight one of you. You send your best man. Whoever wins, the loser serves the winner. How's that? And he was big. So David looks at him and says, I can handle them. Bigger they are, the harder they fall. And so he came to Saul. And he said, David said to Saul, your servant, moi, used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defiled the armies of the living God. I read that and I laughed. I said, David, do they look like the armies of the living God? They're a bunch of chickens. They're cowards. They're running. They're scampering like cockroaches when you turn on the light. Are you kidding me? But David said, no, you defy the armies of the living God. He should have said, you defy these chickens, these cockroaches. They're scampering everywhere. Look at these poor things. They're shaking in their boots. Shame on you, you big person. No. Did they look like the armies of the living God? No, they looked like cowards. But yet he called them not as they were, but as God wanted them to be. And God said, there's a man after my own heart. I thought, that's why. Ah. And he confronted Goliath. And he said to Goliath, you come after me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come after you in the name of the Lord of hosts, whose armies you defied. I thought, wow, you got guts, boy. And the Bible says he picked up 5 stones from the brook and ran towards the giant, whizzed in his slingshot, and whap, right on his head. And Goliath said, whoa, nothing like that has ever entered my mind before. And boom. I thought, ah, and then these guys came out of the pits and became the armies of the living God. Wiped out the Philistines and took over the promised land. Where did that start? What made that change? When someone saw it the way God saw it. You're going to face the same challenge. You're going to have the Babylonians of the world try to rename you and say, get out of there, get out of there. You guys don't belong here. You're going to have the Babylonians of your own mind saying, you're not qualified enough. You're not smart enough. You don't have enough money. You don't have the savvy. But push is going to come to shove, and you'll need to answer. What name are you going to go by? Remember, remember, remember. It's not what people call you. It's what you answer to. And we choose to answer to the Lord God of hosts. He is the one who gives us identity. Can you say amen to that?
You have just heard a message entitled Called by Name by Dr. Wayne Cordero, founding pastor of New Hope, Oahu. Thank you for listening. until next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the New Hope family, this is Dill Gibbs wishing you God's richest blessings and aloha.
You need a break. Do you know that a recent study found that more than half of all people are on the verge of burnout? Along with the effects of COVID on everyday life, work, and families, people aren't just feeling tired while on the clock, they aren't recharging while they're off the clock either. Take this moment as permission to take a break, relax, recharge, and dissipate your stress. You are more than your career. You're more than what you do. Don't wait for burnout to take a break. Stop right now. Breathe in, breathe out. Schedule time to do something you love. Take a day to sleep in and rest. Enjoy the world around you. And when you do, you'll find that even today, hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.